Throughout the history of the church, whenever the church went through a time of expansion, of growth, like it did initially when we read Acts, at different times in the Great Awakening and times where Christians seemed to explode out of the woodwork, like in China after 1946, or in Ethiopia after 1984. Each of these movements has in its midst people who worked and who ministered as apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers. These are gifts in the church, in the body of Christ, that are a particular segment of many special gifts that exist in the body. Here and now, we are the body of Christ. Here and now, we are all members of that one body, whether it is local and it is global. And we all have gifts, gifts of many different kinds. And in Ephesians 4, we have the naming of those five gifts. And you will see a quote on that is that on the tab on the bulletin. It is from this quote from Ephesians 4, 11 through 13, that we have these five gifts named: apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers. From Paul's writings of Ephesians 4, he sees a very special place for these particular five gifts, for their purpose is in equipping all of us to be about the Lord's work, to be about what Jesus would be doing right here and right now. And I will say boldly that all five of these gifts are present here with us. And in fact, I think all of us carry some degree of all of these five gifts inside yourself. To think about it being an important array of what is necessary for the church. And this array, these five different gift types have to work together for the benefit of the church. It's kind of like, say after school, the students have gone home and there's on their playground is a whole bunch of equipment that got left behind during the day. A teacher looks at that and says, I have to teach the kids about that. Try to develop a plan so that they'll do that. The church administrator looks at the same situation, comes up with thinks of it differently, saying, now whose responsibility is it to see those things cleaned up? Meanwhile, the custodian, seeing the equipment laying out in the field, goes and gathers it up and puts it away. Now, I will suggest that all three of those responses are a good response. But they could have ended up arguing with each other as to what we should do when it needed all of that. When we're talking about these spiritual gifts, they provide for us a different perspective on the same situation. We will see, and in no matter what kind of situation rises in the church, we always get a number of different kinds of responses to work on those. I think we need to be ready to say, let's find how we can incorporate all of them in to a plan to address that situation. So we're looking at these five spiritual gifts. If we take our strengths and weaknesses as a church, I think when we look at these five spiritual gifts, we'll recognize that as a church, we have not been utilizing all of these gifts. In fact, all of North America has tended to lean away from all of these spiritual gifts. And churches tend to call pastors, the shepherds, and the teachers to places of responsibility in the church. And we can be left asking, where are the apostles, prophets, and evangelists? And again, I'm saying they're here in our midst. So what does the apostle look like in our congregation? I think that's where we turn to Jesus and see how things operated there in when Jesus was announcing his ministry in his hometown. This passage is interesting in that the variety of responses that there is to Jesus when he's there. It's very clear, first of all, he announces that he is sent. He's been anointed. He is on a mission. And that, again, what Jeff said this morning in the opening, exactly right. Apostles means sent ones. And so Jesus knew his mission, what he needed to do. And he is announcing it here. Second of all, Jesus is fulfilling the prophecy of Isaiah. And he does it as a pioneer, someone who's moving in a new direction. The prophecy had been out there for years. No one had picked it up and started to move into this new reality, into this new kind of functioning that was needed in the church. Well, it actually would create the church, didn't it? And pioneers, that spirit is needed in the church all the time. We often think about pioneers as, you know, like the folks who moved out west when the territories were being occupied by us Germanic and European people. But I remember the thrill as a young child going and seeing the astronauts, you know, the ones, these were pioneers. They were doing something that had never been done before. We knew that there were all kinds of people surrounding them to that ministry, to that mission. And it happens in, again, things like in medicine, Dr. Salk and the development of the polio vaccine. Again, a pioneer, a person with vision, and who maintained the direction even when results were negative initially. Thirdly, Jesus was representing God the Father to the people. He was clarifying what the people had been missing. The people of God had always been given this ministry, this mission, to be out and to bless the whole world. But in Jesus' day, they were figuring out, just they were internally focused. And Jesus is changing their perspective. And Jesus changes his hometown thinking. He really does rub it in, doesn't he, when he says there were a lot of brothers and sisters who were ill. And he went to Nahum and he cleansed Nahum. He went to a widow. Another prophet went to a widow who was outside of the faith. These are important aspects of what it means to have that apostle gift. You need tools. Sometimes you need, you know, the apostle needs to be able to look around and see. This is a favorite of mine. It's my own spotting scope, and I use it for bird watching. But the fact is that you're trying to spot a single bird in a tree, and before you start looking at with 50 power or 60 power, you have to have your eyes and you zero in on it. The apostle is one who's looking around, looking for situations, looking for opportunities to zoom in on. They're also very good too, and they use these, you know, old-fashioned map. Here is a map on one side that has Fulton County on it, and on the reverse side has Williams County on it. The apostles in our midst know the lay of the land. And not just the places and the roads, but they know the people and the situations that exist. And they can pinpoint them, place them on a map, know where they're at, recognizing what is near to the local congregation and what might be far off. But they see things. They record things. They work at it, just like the Apostle Paul. He was indeed an apostle to the Gentiles. And his effort wasn't to just go out and save souls, was it? Every place where he went, the object was to establish a congregation. And I would surmise from this passage from Ephesians that he would look specifically for the gifting within that group of those who would lean towards a strong gift of apostles, a gifting of prophet, evangelist, pastor, or teacher, shepherd and teacher. This kind of establishing the church in different places. So, do these people, are you one of them? We all have gifts given to us by God. Not all of us, and let's be honest, sometimes we have our own way of looking at things, and we recognize that other people have different ways of looking at them. And we need to recognize all the different gifts that exist within our fellowship. And to recognize, we're not always, or do we, should we think we're going to come up with one answer to any kind of situation. From this gifting set of five, there may be five different answers, all of them right, to move the church ahead. Because everything is multifaceted, isn't it? We need to work at multiple levels. The apostle gifting is important to the health and life of the body. I think there are times when we have so little thought about this balance, the presence of these five gifts, so that at times we've overlooked brothers and sisters who have a different perspective that we needed and we need now to be on focus, in direction, maintaining a ministry that God wants for us in our presence. The apostle. In fact, there are apostles, plural, in this congregation. And we need to hear each other. We need to embrace each other. For in that grouping together of these different gifts, the direction that God wants us to go, the direction that blesses God, the direction that fits us as a congregation perfectly, can come forward. So go home. I challenge you to keep reading that Ephesians 4 verses. Ephesians 4, 11 to 13. Read them over and over again. And do not be afraid to ask, what is my gifting in this? What is my part for the body of Christ? No one can completely express an apostle or a prophet or any of the five. The only one who has done that, and we'll see through the next number of weeks, is Jesus Christ. As the anointed one, he's not only an apostle, he is also the prophet, the evangelist, the shepherd, and the teacher. And we can look to him for the pattern, the ways, how to live out our lives in faithfulness to Christ. Let us pray. Oh Lord God, we see a challenge before us. And know, Lord, we can be a blessing to others as we encourage each other in the giftedness, the presence of these five gifts in our congregation. Lord, let us not be afraid to tap each other on the shoulder and say, sister, brother, I see these gifts in you. And Lord, as that happens, as our shoulders are touched, Lord, let us not quickly put it out of hand, put it away, deny or reject it. Lord, help us to accept the responsibility and the privilege to express who you have created us to be. Lord, further this, your ministry, in our midst as we call brothers and sisters to be our apostles. In Jesus' name, amen.